And by 79, Lord gave us 4 children. So we all went back to India in 1979 and started to minister among the university students. And later on, Lord led us clearly to the assembly in that village. So in 89, the assembly commended us for the work of the Lord. So we are continuing with the assembly since 1989. And during that work, God gave us a clear vision to minister, support the assembly planting, especially in the northern part and remote part of Kerala. So we developed teams and gone to different places. And then for the education of my children, to help them, to guide them, to counsel them, we moved to USA in 1996. So we have been going back to India since 96 every year, approximately 6 months. And God willing, is this November 3rd week, Molly and I are moving back to India. And for two reasons. One, our primary ministry with our children in this country is over. All daughters, our own as well as the one who came to our home, finished their school, done their residency and all those things. Now they are all homemakers, so grandchildren are in safe place with them than us. And now, but at the very same time, my parents are in the age of 89 and 85, and my mom has something called dementia, and because of that, my wife has to be there, and so we are going back in November and going to be make our base back with our parents, and then I will travel to different locations in India and outside the India as needs and opportunity come to preach the word and be active in the ministry. So please remember us in your prayers as we are returning to our parents, as Paul reminded the Timothy. Children and grandchildren has a tremendous responsibility to support their parents in their old age. And so we are going to do that. And in order to do that, we are in need of something called OCI, which is standing for Overseas Citizens of India, something like a green card in the USA. We need to get that. And it is not that easy with our government in India. So you file papers and they will say that paper is not right, this paper is not right. So I got an email out of the several papers I filed, still 2 more papers are not according to their requirement. I'm not understanding exactly what it is all. So I'm going to present myself Monday to the office. But again, the government has now assigned an agency called Travisa Outsourcing. So I can only go to them and I have to convince them. So we need your prayer on that also. The Travisa offices as well as the government will be satisfied with the requirement. So we'll get our paper done before November so we can go and stay there without police harassment. Otherwise, every 6 months you have to go to the police station and make a report, and you have to go out of the town, you have to go to police station and report. It's a difficult thing to do. It's not. And the last time, Lord helped us to travel 9 different states in India and visited 32 locations and assemblies in 35 assemblies. And we have conducted workers' meeting as small as 6 workers together, as big as 90 workers together. And so we are ministering in small assemblies and helping the evangelist to do the work. So we go there. We don't bring any programs to them. We go there and be available to that servant of God and be with that person, and we stay in that house and minister to the assembly and encourage them in the Lord. So you can also remember us in your prayers as we travel to different states of India to support the assembly planting. And so appreciate, and Lord has provided us an opportunity to go to Africa 3 years ago, and first year that did not take place because of the political turmoil in that country, in Kenya. And last year I had to cancel my trip outside India because of the illness of my mother. And this year, my wife is going to stay with my mother, so I will have the freedom of travel. So I'm rescheduling my international travel. So please pray that things will go in a way that we will be able to minister to the African saints in different parts, and also to go to South Africa to speak in different assemblies. You know, to be famous is something people like, and also famous people are well received and looked upon. But the question is, what is the value of popularity in the society? The people who have eaten the food from the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar, when he has given for their health and for their education, Daniel is a man who rejected that. They said, he said, I cannot eat this food, I cannot drink this wine, because that will defile. So he has taken a position that is not popular. What was the response of the eunuch who has been caring for him? See, you are forfeiting my head before King Nebuchadnezzar. So he was indirectly suggesting this is going to cause a cost. You know, king don't like the way you look after 10 days. So he will chop your head off. But where is the people who were well received in that palace at that time? The eunuchs were happy with the rest of the people who have been selected from the royal and noble group of the Israelites who have been captured by the Nebuchadnezzar. But though they were famous, well received, well accepted in the palace at that time, can we tell the name of any of those people who have been famous? But we know the unpopular people: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And their name is still familiar in the books and also among the people, and their name will be known in the heaven also. So in the eternal perspective, to be great in the sight of the Lord is valuable. But to be great in the sight of the Lord, not necessarily great in this world. When angel appeared to Zechariah, the priest, and he told in Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 13 to 17, about the birth of John the Baptist. And we read like this: but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make a ready a people prepared for the Lord. So here the angel made very clear, John the Baptist will be great in the sight of the Lord. But he was not great before King Herod, nor he was acceptable for the religious leaders of that time. When the Lord asked Where does John received his message? What was their answer? They answered and said, we do not know. Why did they say that? Because they do not want to accept he has the message from the Lord, and they are afraid to say he does not have a message from the Lord because they are afraid of the people. So John was not a famous, well-received person in the religious circle, among the leadership in the temple. But at the very same time, what did God said? He is the greatest among the men. And the angel said, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. So actually, children are gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. And here, Zechariah was praying long years for a child. And a time has come that reality cannot happen anymore. But he continued in prayer. And one day, God sent angel Gabriel and told to him, your prayer has heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. So we have seen in the scripture, in the history, how God has answered the prayers for the people who have been praying for a child. And God has come and given children to the people, even though all the children are God's gift and heritage from him. He has given children in the history with a unique purpose. For example, Samson. And he was born to deliver the nation of Israel from the bondage of Philistines. And there was requirements how he has to be raised. And also, there also, Samson was required not to use anything from grape, not only wine, but even the fruit. So he has been separated for a unique purpose God has. And sometimes God bring a child as a result of a prayer. The praying family or the mother or a father is praying because they need a child or they do not have a child. At the very same time, God who sees the history moving forward, bring this request in such a way to change the situation. Hannah was a crying and a praying mother. But she first prayed for a male child and said, the maid servant. She said, I am your maid servant. So this maid servant was praying for a male child because she has been despised because lack of a child. And the God heard and said, you give me a child, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. And Samuel was born. But when we read the history of that time, we began to realize, though it was an answer for the prayer of Hannah, but also God wanted Samuel to fulfill a great task. See, when we see, when we read the history of the Israel, there are two different times we come across the high priesthood has been in jeopardy. Eli has two children. We see them in the temple as the next generation who is going to take the leadership. Also in the time of Lord Jesus Christ, we have seen two high priests, Anna and Caiaphas, they were ministering in the temple same time. But the law of Moses made it very clear there's only one high priest, and he will continue as a high priest till he dies. But then two men arose. That is the time the system made a change. Here, Samuel came, and at that time we see Hophni and Phinehas. Even though Eli was the high priest at that time, the other two men are coming up in leadership, but they were worthless people. They were disobedient, and they have ill reputation. And God is raising up this child in his favor, and also, though he was with these young people in the tabernacle, he was not influenced by these people. Why? Because he has a mother who visited him annually. And every time she came to see her son, she also bought him a gown to wear. And I believe every time she made that thing for the next year, she is remembering the difficult environment where Samuel is growing up. And she is continuously remembering Samuel, the Lord who heard her prayer to protect her son from the harmful, evil influence of Hophni and Phinehas. You know, sometimes parents tend to blame the school and the dormitory and the university where their children have gone. And that is what happened. The influence from there caused the difficulties they are going through. That may be a possibility, but really it is possible to have our children in the world without the influence of the world, provided we dedicate them in the hand of God. I remember when I sent my children to the public school, I was unable to send them to a Christian school, I was unable to send them to a private school where better education is available. So I went to send all my children to a public school. And everyone said, "You are ruining the future of your children." But we continued to pray for our children. And also I visited the school. I made friends with the teachers there. And I go and watch my children, what's happening to them. And 2 or 3 weeks later, I explained to the children. So I received a report from the local police station. "You have been doing this activity or that activity." And they never able to understand how I came to know exactly everything, but the report according to the police in my hand is exactly what they did. But the thing is that they never understood who is this police person until my eldest son was in the college. Then they realized the police and the report reader is the same. So all my children now come to know the Lord. They are married. They have children. Lord gave us 4 children. At present, we have 11 grandchildren. And they are all attending the assembly. So Hannah prayed for her son who are under the influence of Hophni and Phinehas. And God said, "Even though I have promised an everlasting priesthood to you, but I am going to remove that from you." When our high priest, Lord Jesus Christ, came to establish the priesthood of Melchizedek, is no longer the Levitical priesthood has any validity. So there also you see 2 men standing. You know, when we read in the book of Job, we understand the greatness, how God value. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. So when people looked at him and saw his character and saw his wealth, they recognized him as the greatest man in the east. Now let's look to the verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? God is not at all mentioning anything regarding his cattle, his wealth. Only he is talking, how is his relationship to him? And God is testifying the character of Job. And not only that, then he says one thing. There's none like him in the earth. See, society accepted Job for his character and his wealth and gave him a position as a great man in the east. But God not only gave him a position in the east, he said, there's none like him in the whole earth. So he is great in the earth because he is great in the sight of the Lord. His greatness is not based on his accomplishment in his personal life here on the earth, but his relationship to God. And therefore, God is so delighted to say, Job is my servant. See, that is something very valuable. When God is saying, he is my servant, I can go and say to some people, I serve for General Electric. A job I have there. Or in India, if I say, if I drive the car of Prime Minister, and I go to my hometown and I say, I'm the driver of the Prime Minister, there is a special recognition I will receive. I remember the former President of India, who was a scientist in his career after his retirement. He became the president for a political reason. The Hindu government of that time decided, if we accept an Islam person as the president of the country, Muslims will be happy. So he became the president of our country. And while he was in Trivandrum, Kerala, as a scientific officer, he actually came from Tamil Nadu, another state of India, southwest of India. And the evening when he come home, he liked to speak in Tamil. During all day in the office, he is speaking in English. And he liked to speak in Tamil. There is a cobbler, also from Tamil Nadu. Naturally, he also speaks Tamil. So in the evening, this man come in this cobbler shop and sit there, and he talk the Tamil, you know, conversation. And the cobbler goes out and buy a cup of tea and something, a donut, something like that. And the time has gone. And of course, they separated later. And Dr. Abdul Kalam, he became the president of India. And one day, this cobbler read in the newspaper, Dr. Abdul Kalam is visiting Trivandrum. So he went to the concerned police officer and said, I am his friend, I wanted to see him. And the police officer looked at him, this cobbler is his friend? If you want, get arrested, get out of this place. Chased him out. But the newspaper picked up the news and published all the details, And the Abdul Kalam's press person said, "Sir, there is an article about you, about this. Oh yeah, he is my friend. So I want to see him, so bring him." Atmosphere is changed now. You know, the same officer who chased him came with his car with a flashing light and took him and said, "Well, now I want you to come and see meet president." Where is the difference? Both people said the same thing. The cobbler said, "I am his friend." But there is no acceptance, no value. Now, when the Abdul Kalam said, "He is my friend," everything is changed there. There's a great value. This cobbler became the most important person in the town today. So God is saying, Almighty God is saying, Job is my servant. And his friends later accused him. His wife rejected him. And when we read chapter 42, verse 11 says that, "Then came unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and his acquaintance did eat bread with him in his house. Every man also gave him a piece of money, an earring of gold." So all these people were abandoned him. When we read from verse chapter 2 onward all the way to 40, we do not see any of these people except those four friends who came. Now, so many friends, brothers, sisters, friends, acquaintance, not only they came to him, but also they want to spend time with him. They want to stay there before they forgot the phone number. They forgot the direction and the thing you use in the car for the direction. What is that? GPS. The GPS. They forgot to take the GPS. They forgot everything. Now they have everything in the proper place. Why? Because God has prospered him. So people always understand only in the material realm. God, who sees the heart, recognize a person's value based on the character. And where God said, "Job is my servant." And what did God say about Daniel? And he said, "He is my beloved. You are highly esteemed. You are highly esteemed. Oh, Daniel, man of high esteem." And he is a man of insight. That's what God is saying. But even though Daniel have been a blessing and help to the kingdoms of Babylonians, Medes and Persians, he have been forgotten. King Nebuchadnezzar exalted him, gave him high position, and recognized his God. At the very same time, he also built and made a God for him. And later, his grandson, Belshazzar, did not even know who is Daniel. His mother has to come. "There was a man named Daniel in this palace at the time of your father, Nebuchadnezzar. He is able to reveal and make known the hidden truths." And Belshazzar wanted to know what was written on the wall. So the greatness Daniel enjoyed before God is everlasting. And why he was able to do that? Because he took a position that is delightful to the Lord, pleasing to the Lord, and honoring the Lord. He said, "The food and the wine I will not eat because that is displeasing to God." So he was fearful of King of the Kings, but he was not at all afraid king. He was willing to risk his life to please God Almighty. And therefore, he became a great person in the court as well as in the eternity. And God said, "You are highly esteemed and high of esteem of man." See, Daniel had a great vision of what is going to happen for the nation of Israel and what is going to happen for the humanity. You know, again, after that great vision, we don't see him the limelight. He became sick. And says that in Daniel chapter 8, verse 27, says that Daniel was fainted, exhausted, and was sick. After being with God and understanding the mystery and revelation from God, he was not out there as a great person, became sick and fainted and exhausted. So greatness in the sight of God is totally different than what you and I think is great. If you have in the government service in India, something called the Indian Administration Service, that is a high officials, high post in the government. There are men in that caliber are the one who come as ambassadors from India. They are called Indian Foreign Service, the other one Indian Administration Service. They are all basically same caliber. There is a brother back in India, and he is a godly person, there is no doubt about that. But he is known among the people not because he is godly, but because he has the IAS, as that administrative position. And we have a tendency to accept people in the light of the world standard. But we have to realize all those standards and acceptance is temporary. It has no value in the next generation. But the character and the quality and the acceptance in the Lord is everlasting. And Moses was a great man. We all recognize that. But King Pharaoh asked, "Who is Moses for me to send all these people?" When we look in the life of Moses, he born in a wrong country. He born in a wrong time. And also he was born in a wrong gender. Why? Because that time the Pharaoh said all the Hebrew boys should be murdered, thrown in the river. So they are food for the crocodiles. And that is the time Moses was born. If Moses was born in any other country at that time, it was fine. But he born in Egypt, where this law was in function. And also, it was a male child that should be thrown, not a female child. He was born as a male child. So every circumstance was against him. But God has preserved him and made him a great person. And God said, "Moses is my servant." But he was rejected, unrecognized, and his own people have said, "Are you the only person from God, only person who received the message from God?" At the very same time, later on, the nation of Israel was unhappy or unwilling to accept Lord Jesus Christ. Even those people who reject Lord Jesus Christ was eager to say, "Moses is our leader. He gave us the law. Are you greater than him?" So in their mind, Moses was a great person. But at the very same time, the people of his time rejected him. And but God said, "He is my..." But what did God say about Lord Jesus Christ? In comparison to Moses, God said, "Moses is my servant, whereas Lord is my beloved son." So God always values in a different way, in a unique way, the way he values, he evaluate totally different standard. His standard is not the standard, because his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And we are unable to understand how he does that. And the angel said, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And also, another thing, he has a special mission. What is that? Turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. Now, it's interesting to note that Israelites are God's people. They are children of God. Now, angel is saying, these people need to turn to their God. So that is something we need to realize. We are not able to have children simply because they are our children as God's children. Each individual in their own lifetime has to make a decision and realize how sinful and how much they need the forgiveness and come to the Lord and receive that forgiveness. Then only they can be children of God. And although they are children of Abraham, they have been under the law of Moses, going through the priesthood of Levitical system, they do not know the Lord. And not only that, every time Moses talking about God, he always says, your Lord, your God, our God. He never said God or Lord. It's always personal. In every response, every responsibility, every obedience, every command Moses gave throughout Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, all the time he used the word your God. So God is a God on a personal relationship. And John has a responsibility now to turn back the hearts of the Israelites to God their God, to the Lord their God. And he has been called to do that ministry. And also turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. What is the purpose of all this? The purpose is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Because he is the forerunner and he has a vision, he has a mission, he has a message. The Lord is coming. And we are also placed today in the earth because our Lord is coming. And we have to declare that to the nations. And we have the responsibility of individually leading people to come to knowledge of the Lord God Almighty. I remember when I was in Tacoma, Washington, one brother came and asked me, don't you want your son get baptized? I said, not now. I didn't try to explain anything. But the reason behind was that if I ask him, son, are you saved? He will say yes. Do you want to be baptized? Yes. He will say everything yes, but he has no understanding. My thinking is, he has to make a decision himself. He has to come and ask us, he wants to be baptized. My second son first came and asked me, he wants to be baptized. And once he decided to get baptized, later my first son also came and asked me. So they all asked to be baptized because they heard the gospel and they realized they need to be born again, and they made that decision. And all four children made that decision individually and independently, and there was no force. But during these times, we have been helping them to learn the word of God, helping them to understand the gospel. And we have been praying for them, not only praying for their salvation, but also praying for their life. And as a result of that, God has blessed our children. And so John is a great man in the sight of the Lord. At the very same time, he was very unpopular person in the Israel when he was ministering. And greatness in the sight is valued by character and relationship to God. Moses, why he was a great person? He rejected the wealth of the Egypt. He rejected the title to be called the son of a daughter of Pharaoh, which means he would be the next king in the Egypt. So he rejected the kingdom, he rejected the kingship, he rejected the wealth of the Egypt. And Egypt was a very, very wealthy country in that time. Then what was he receiving for that? A group of slaves. And even them also are not fully committed to him. But that was delightful to God. And therefore God saying, he was faithful in the house of the Lord, a servant of God. So he rejected three things and accepted three things. Though he was born in the wrong place, wrong time, and a wrong gender, God has preserved him. So the circumstance is not an inconvenience or difficulty, provided we commit ourselves to the hand of God, according to the plan of God, and we raise our children in the fear of the Lord, and then God will be delighted. Again, let's turn back to the book of Job, and there's one more thing we see, quality of a Job. That in verse 5, chapter 1, we read that, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job continually. There, Job have been taking an effort to bring up his children in the fear of the Lord. So we do not read anything the children have done that displeased to God. And also we know from the history of the Job, he had a faithful servants. And those servants were so faithful, even at the cost of their own life, they are not running away from Job, rather running toward Job to report what happened. And they never reported anything against his children. So there was nothing outside, but he was concerned what they were thinking in their heart. That's very important. Last year, during Thanksgiving time, I invited all my children to come to home. And we have a time for singing, reading scripture and prayer. And then children wanted to have some excuse and everything. So I prepared. So naturally, you get only one prize. My granddaughter received the prize, but my grandson also wanted a prize. So he came to me and said, you know, they all called me Appacha, that means grandfather. Don't you have any other prizes? So what he is saying, he also wanted a prize. So then I have to put another sword drill, draw the sword drill. So I know he can win that. So I asked questions, so he won, he got the prize also. But the thing, what I wanted to say is that all our daughters-in-law came from different homes naturally. They didn't say anything to me. I'm unfair or anything. But I know one thing. When one child from one son's house giving the answers, the other mother is thinking, what's wrong with this, my kid? I have trained him, I have drilled him, I have given all the things for him. Now he's not saying anything. Sort of embarrassing. Of course, they didn't say anything to me. But I know that have been a process going through their mind. It's natural. So Job is thinking, all their children, grandchildren, wives, and everybody is together. You know, they have time together, and But Job is thinking, maybe something has gone wrong. So he has called his children and brought them together. And then what did he do? Rose up early in the morning, offered a burnt offering according to the number of them all. So as a father, he was concerned about the spiritual welfare of his children. When he brought them home, he did not ask any questions. Do you know that? The stock exchange is going very down now. Real estate price is way down. It's 30% unemployment, and you can buy a house for a $10,000 worth $200,000 now. So, have you ever considered investing in India? Interest rate is 10% for a 1-year fixed deposit. So he was not at all asking any such questions at all. He was only concerned what was in their mind, if there anything that has hindered their relationship to God the Father, if that happened, that should not stand against them. Therefore, he has burned offering for them. It is not an easy thing. It is a laborious thing, and also it is a very expensive thing. He has to offer the best cattle. And he has 10 children. And so naturally, I believe they do this 10 times a year. So he has to have 100 burnt offering a year. That is an expensive, hard work. But he never failed because he valued relationship to God is important. As he was a father who cared for his son, children, at the very same time, his stand before God is such, God said, he is my servant and there's none like him in the earth. So to be great in the sight of the Lord is the greatest thing you and I can gain from the Lord, and that will have eternal value. Let's close the meeting with prayer. Our gracious and loving Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for this new day. Thank you for this new morning. Thank you for the opportunity you have given to us to remember you. And you have protected us and redeemed us and brought to God the soul of shepherd of our soul and made us your children. Help us to gain greatness in your sight and greatness in the eternity. And help us not to run after the greatness of this world, which will fade, but the greatness you give us will be unending, and we commit ourselves so that you will consider us as esteemed and high of esteem of people. Thank you, Father, that you have given us a time together to see from your word. You have given children as a blessing and a heritage. At the very same time, you have given us them so that they will please you and bring delight to you, so that we commit ourselves to your hand, so that you will be able to do that for your honor. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.